Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to this Reddit NYC event. My name is Willie Morales. And on today's show, we have Joe Burko from Burko and Associates. Definitely looking forward to interviewing him. Let me tell you a little bit about Joe. Joe is president and founder of Burko and Associates in 2005, and he founded Astor Realty Capital in 2016. He has, over the course of his 25-year career, advised, financed, syndicated, acquired over $2 billion in commercial real estate. Plus, Joe is a recipient of the prestigious 2014 Power Broker Award from CoStar. He has been the real estate advisor of the state of New York from 2009 to 2018, appointed by Governor Andrew Cuomo and Governor David Patterson. So we're just waiting for him to be on this event. Again, let's thank Reddit NYC, Selman Yasser, for putting this event together. I'm really, really looking forward to talking with Joe. Hopefully he gets on in a few minutes. Let's see if we have time. Let's say hi to our sponsors. First, gold sponsor, Carlos Seneca from CNA Seneca Construction. Gold sponsor, Vince Soriero from Property Shark. Silver sponsor, Laura Rivera from Champion Elevator. Silver sponsor, Benny Resda from Skyline Scaffolding. Other sponsors, Amit Prasad from View, Yaya Mushtaq from EcoSafety, Michael Zeisman from City Bay Capital, Tariq Zuri from Hydrotech Environmental, Shoka Mamedov from Remax 100, and finally, John De La Fuente from Real Estate Prince. So anyway, again, thanks Selman for putting this event together. Again, also thanks our sponsors for being so kind and generous, especially what's happening now with this pandemic. We're doing this series pretty, I call it the interview series. And, you know, I'm looking for, again, I always look forward to interviewing these entrepreneurs. They always give me incentive to do better. And give me a second. And here comes Joe. Boom. And let's say hi. Joe, how are you? Joe, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. How are you, William?
I'm good, and I can hear you, Joe. I just read your bio over the air, and it's very impressive. So, Joe, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into real estate? What was it about this field that drew you in, and obviously, and the capital side of it, especially Astor Realty Capital? What drew you into these two fields?
First of all, thank you for inviting me, and it's a pleasure to be here this afternoon. I'm calling from Miami, where it's sunny and beautiful, and it's been like that for the last couple of months.
But Joe, don't make us jealous, you know, especially here in New York. It's about maybe early, you know, late 70s, early 70s, which is okay, but you know, you're gonna have this weather for the next 8 months.
It's the land of sunshine, but I hear it's not too bad in New York. In fact, I was there a couple of weeks ago and had a chance to get on a plane. I haven't seen a plane in about 6 months. But we flew into Los Angeles to look at some transactions, and then we ended up we found ourselves for 24 hours in Nevada, in Las Vegas, and then eventually a week after in New York. So first of all, New York, I miss New York tremendously. It's where I started my career. So you've asked me about how did I get into real estate. Sort of like out of a coincidence, just picked up on an ad. I was doing a bunch of odd jobs, fresh off the boat, maybe about 25, 26 years ago. And something about this ad called me, you know, and I liked the environment. I liked the atmosphere. It was a little bit different. And really soon after that, and I started, by the way, I started in Queens, very modest office doing rentals in Forest Hills. So sort of like being on the ground level, that was my mailroom sort of entry into the world of real estate. But you learn a lot. You learn a lot from the little things that you do. I enjoyed it tremendously. Baruch College at the time, Poor Man's Harvard, as it's known in New York, started a real estate program, a four-year degree in real estate development. And so I jumped on that, and I started going into school and was working full-time. So my life was kind of like, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at night. Schoolwork for a good amount of years. And when I graduated, it was just after 9/11. So the city was frozen, companies were leaving New York, nobody was hiring. And I had my aspiration to work at some, you know, large institutional firm and become an analyst. but that was not in the cards. Nobody was hiring. So I went back to know what I knew best and got back into real estate. And so I found myself early 2000s doing real estate finance. So I worked at a finance firm that focused on financing commercial assets. Done that for a good number of years, and then decided that I still have the itch and I'm going to have to open up my office and do it for myself, or I'm just not going to get fully satisfied. And so I did. And so in 2005, it was May, I started up Berko & Associates. And so it was great times. You know, I was selling big buildings in New York and Pennsylvania. We're doing great transactions, both investment sales, structure finance. It's a wonderful time. And
I was going to say, you know, when you got into the business, it seemed like you got in when it was, you know, on the rise. Did you see anything different from when you started to maybe a few years later, before the crash? I mean, were you seeing prices just go out of control?
So when I started in the business, it was 1995, where I was sort of like coming out of a very long, you know, U-shaped sort of a recession, early mid 90s. It was still, you know, it was still sort of like a suspect coming out of the, you know, the saving and loans debacles of the very late 80s. And so I went in through about 5-6 years of an upturn in real estate. And that's what we've been seeing. And then, of course, the dot-com boom or the dot-com bubble, if you will, that's created a little bit of a damp on office space right in Manhattan. So that sort of had an impact. And then soon after, we've seen 9/11. And I've realized that, you know, first it's a, you know, it's an upswing in market and downswing in market. And if you really focus on what you're doing, you'll find opportunities. In 9/11, you know, there was quite a shocker. The entire city was in a state of a shock. Now, coming from Israel, I'm sort of like, you know, somewhat familiar with that sort of adversary, if you will. Now, probably not the scale, and probably not so forefront and center. But the city recovered tremendously, and it took a lot of forces. It took City Hall, it took the public sector, the private sector, everybody pulled in together. This is something that you see where I come from. All forces are pulling together because you have a very, you know, very clear outside source that you sort of like unite around in order to defend yourself, in order to come back together. I remember Giuliani asking everybody to go downtown, spend money. We said, right, nail salons, go shop downtown. We have to revive downtown. But at the other side of it, there were some tremendous opportunities out there. You know, office buildings were trading for about $100 per square foot, and you were able to get the Liberty Bonds, which was like a 1% financing stretch out for 30 years. So it was cheap capital. It was a lot of help.
Yeah.
Interesting. So each and every downturn, every recession, if you will, brings with it, you know, brings with it sort of like a, you know, cleaning out the barns, something fresh comes in, something stronger comes in. We always return stronger, as we will return from this situation stronger as well, I believe.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. So you talk about when you received your power broker award from CoStar, especially in investment sales transaction. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. You know, one of the things, both at Berko & Associates and later on Esther, who spun out of Berko & Associates, I've always looked at the market and always try to do things a little bit different. You know, I look at this big funnel, okay? You look at the state of New York and I looked at the competition. There's about 149,000 brokers and agents, okay, throughout the state of New York. So it's a staggering number.
It is.
And you got to find a niche for yourself. Okay, you gotta find a place where you're passionate about, a place where you can make an impact, where you can add value. And so I looked at the industry. I would say about 99% of it, 98% of it is residential. So we're not in that space. We're in the commercial space. So we're kind of like the segmented 2%. And if you look at that 2%, there's several hundreds or a couple of thousands, let's say, that are in the space of commercial real estate. you know, the majority are chasing deals. Sometimes I call it, you know, the low hanging fruit. They're chasing multifamily apartment buildings. That seems to be the ones, the sort of transaction or the food group that trades the most. There's plenty of competition in that space. And there's some companies and some brokers are just doing a tremendous job in that space. Mm. And so I look to see where I can add value and where we can have less competition. And that tends to be areas where deals are good to be either very large or large and complex and complicated. And I find those to be interesting. A family approached us, they had an office building in Midtown. It's a tremendous office building that used to be, way back in the day, used to be a hotel with about 1,000 rooms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did a transaction with a group that wanted to bring a very cool brand, the Moxie brand, the first Moxie brand to come to New York, and was looking to either build ground up or convert an existing property. And what they needed is they needed sort of like a millennial style hotel, highly amenitized, many of public areas, rooftops, restaurants, all the cool places, and have this entire thing interacted while keeping the rooms fairly small. And that place seems to be kind of like a great fit. So we've negotiated this transaction. It went for about $182 million. And I guess, you know, the layers of complexities, CoStar sort of like viewed this transaction to be quite unique. And so they approached me and they say, hey, we're gonna give you this nomination as a power broker, which, you know, rattled my feathers. I felt great about it. And I was like, that's wonderful. But you know what? I gotta reinvent myself now again. So, but you know.
Yeah, you didn't hit the ceiling. You wanted to pass that ceiling. Yeah.
So, you know, an advisor, a broker's world is just like that. You eat what you kill, and you're always going to be on the hunt. So that was nice. It was an interesting transaction. It was complex enough to underwrite a hotel, to understand the ins and outs of a hotel, and it was quite different. It was in a segment of town. It was the corridor between Times Square, stretching all the way along 7th Avenue and Herald Square. And I felt that those few blocks between 42nd Street and 34th Street, as sort of like there's going to be a couple of avenues that are just going to pick up because there's plenty of traffic in both those little segments, both those little bubbles, right? Tons of tourism, tons of retail. I'm not talking now. Right. and that stretch of a corridor at night simply goes dark. And I felt that, you know, it would just simply makes great sense, you know, hotels and retail, and have this entire area filled with retail and life and after hours sort of activities. And I think it's starting more and more to happen. So that was the CoStar designation, the power broker designation.
No, that's great. I mean, because, you know, imagine you getting that type of award and it seems like, okay, now I got this. Do I have to top it now? Do I have to get better at what I did previously? Because maybe people might judge you and say, okay, well, you know, Joe did this, but what has he done lately? I mean, did you ever feel that type of pressure, or it was business as usual for you?
Yeah, I found that if I'll try to compete against others in New York, and having said that, New York is probably the most competitive market in the world.
Right.
If I try to compare myself and compete with other folks, I'll never see the end of it. I'm just going to be miserable. So I'm just competing against myself. If my last kind of transactions was a certain size, then I'll do my best to top that off. And if the market sees it this way or that way, I have no control. You know, I don't pay attention. It's one thing I don't pay attention to. You know, what others may think or what others may say, just no end to that.
No, again, I could imagine, because again, you're always at the, you know, at the mercy of your last deal, because you want to get better and better. Obviously, you know, the goal is to make more money, but also have a win-win situation with your seller, your buyer, your end buyer, whatever that may be. So for you, in 2009, David Paterson nominates you as a member of the Real Estate Board of New York. So tell us a little bit more about that. Like, you know, how was that, you know, being appointed by the governor? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I was personal friends with the secretary of New York at the time, and we were just simply going to the whole conversations about real estate in general, real estate as its impact, people throughout New York, licensing issues. We just always go through those, you know, long, lengthy conversations. And then she tells me that I've been nominated by David to be as a member of the board. It's a board of, it's a federal mandated board for the state of New York. Every state has to have one. And it's composed of 13 individuals, out of which five are real estate brokers with a minimum of 10 years in good standing. And you go through this really rigorous application, 400-page credits and taxes and everything you can think of, and fingerprints and background checks and tax audits and all kinds of different things. And you eventually become an advisor for the state of New York. It's quite a thing for me. It's great for the resume because you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's 149,000 people that they can choose from. So it's a 2-year nomination, and I've done it for the last 9 years because when David Paterson left, Andrew Cuomo stepped in and decided to ask me to stay for 2 more years, and that became another 2 years, and I became the secretary of the board. And so the overall was a 9-year experience. It's quite interesting. You get to see and be part of the decisions and part of the influence for the city and how things are running as far as real estate matters. Essentially, if you think about it, we're there for the public. This particular board sits there and advises for the state how to operate, how to run things as far as real estate is related in the public's best interest. So we're speaking for the public, and every now and then we'll have people show up and to our board meetings and sort of like, you know, we'll bring some interesting issues. Not everything was interesting. Some of the things are very mundane. But it was a great experience, and I'm really happy I've had the pleasure of taking part of it. Got to see how the city operates, the state, right, or operate for front and center, the bureaucracies. I had a chance to maybe add a little bit of value, maybe intervene a little bit, and maybe get things going to a certain extent, a little bit smoother, a little bit less bureaucratic. It's great people on the board. Everyone who's there, nobody gets paid. Majority of which are politicians, as I mentioned, you know, the Secretary of State. It's a voluntary board. It's a political position, but it's a voluntary board. So it was quite interesting.
So you saw a lot of things come and go, especially in the real estate industry, because again, you know, the goal is to help other people out in the real estate industry. And I didn't know until you mentioned earlier there was so many brokers, agents, 149,000. And for you to be nominated for that position, I mean, that had a, for lack of a better phrase, stroke the ego a little bit, Joe.
Good for the resume. When they audit your taxes and go through background checks and do a criminal check on you and you come out okay.
Yeah.
It's on your resume, especially today with Aster, you know, we're involved in managing other people's capital. Institutionally backed. We can talk about Aster a little bit if you wish.
Yes, please.
But essentially, we're syndicators of capital. And, you know, we have, the integrity is the most important thing. And the preservation of capital is the most important thing. So our investors, you know, they need to feel that the capital is in the right hands, in very capable hands. So that helps. It actually helps. Yeah, so it's good for the resume, and it's good, it makes people feel, makes our investor feel very comfortable, on top of all the other operations that we do, obviously.
Right. Talk a little bit more about Aster Capital. Like, how did you decide that this is a field you wanted to get into? How did you know that, what did you see that you needed to get into this space in capital lending, so to speak?
So the story of Aster Realty Capital, you know, as an advisor, I was working with advising public companies, raising capital overseas, turning companies into reporting entities on the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange, working with pension funds, working with all sorts of groups, Advising private individuals, advising family officers on a number of transactions, whether it is to buy, to arrange for capital, and so on. Well, after around 20 years of doing that, I felt that it was time that we've gained enough experience, knowledge, reputation, to go and start doing it on our own. And so we've embarked on this new venture, which I call Astor Realty Capital. Astor Realty Capital is essentially private equity arm of Burko and Associates. We're institutionally backed. But the majority of our capital comes from Israel.
Okay.
Israel group. And with them, we primarily invest in equity transactions in three main markets between the West Loop of Chicago, New York City, Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, South Florida, and major markets throughout Florida. So these are the geographical locations we're looking at. So at the West Coast right now, it's a conversation. So, you know, with our depth of knowledge in the market, in capital markets, our access to the banking industry, the banking world, variety of lenders throughout up and down the capital stack, a number of players, our connections over the course of 20 plus years, 25 years I'm in the business, you know, everything sort of like comes together into this concept of Astor Realty Capital. So we manage capital into a variety of projects. Our essentially our positions here to pick and choose the best in class operators, developers, and then we'll team with them, we'll bring capital to their projects, mm-hmm. and then we'll become an active LP in those projects with okay. the ability to step in if the project goes bad, with the ability to make major decisions, and we're very interactive within the project itself. We'll always say the developer, our developing partners manage the day-to-day, we manage the month-to-month. And, you know, it's growing. Our portfolio right now is probably composed of close to 1 million square feet of developments in those three major markets, and growing. We're hoping to probably double that by probably second quarter of 22.
Right.
And we'll see from there.
Joe, are you guys strictly, obviously commercial that you're talking about, but are you in the office market at all? Or is that something you looking to stay away from? Or maybe down in the future, you might get into the office space? What do you, if you can, what do you see about the office space now, that especially what's happening with the pandemic and pretty much making a mess of things here, especially here in New York City. At least at the beginning, yeah.
You can see I'm having my Zoom from my bedroom. So I'm working from my private house out of Miami. and I think that a lot of us are doing the same and enjoying it probably to a great extent. It's hard to say where office is going to shake out. There's no doubt that there's going to be some losers in this equation. You know, industry is sort of like changing, and it's been changing fairly rapidly. So no, we don't have exposure to office right now. Our entire portfolio is composed of a little bit of value adds and a lot of ground up multifamily construction. We have about 65,000 square feet of retail, but again, this is neighborhood retail,
right?
That is geared towards the day-to-day necessities. So I don't expect that to be overly impacted. But we don't have any exposure to hospitality, logistical space, the industrial space. I think it's going through some sort of a bubble. It seems to me it's hard for me to make sense of those numbers. And as far as office, we are looking, we are checking, we're checking very carefully. We've seen a number of transactions, we've bid on one, but it always have a very strong core element. So for example, one of the last transactions where made a bid on was an office building that's sort of like outside of Manhattan, that's 75% occupied by an anchor tenant, a national institutional anchor tenant. And so our exposure to the last 25% lease up risk is very much minimized. So we can carry that service, we can even make some distribution, even if we'll stay 75% occupied. So we're looking at things fairly carefully, but we're also yield driven. And I'm not quite seeing the sort of yields that I'm looking for in office. And I am seeing it, however, in ground up construction. So I think that, you know, for the foreseeable future, we'll probably stay in that space. We are taking a defensive approach, however, in the construction. So, for example, the transactions we're negotiating now, or the two transactions we're pursuing right now, are deals that we sort of like sandwiched a position, a safe position of pref equity that's generating for us very high, you know, teen or into the low 20s sort of returns, with a very nice cushion of equity coming from the sponsor. Both of those transactions are institutional size, ground up rentals. One has 300 units, the other one is going to be 225 units. Good operators, very, very deep experience, excellent reputation. This is sort of like the triple C's, as I call sometime, that I like to turn into my triple A. So I look at collateral, the real estate. I'd like to see that is something that we like and understand. I like to see good credit and the ability to bring lenders. It's important to us that our partners come with good capital.
Right.
Character, which is the last C, but the most important one in my book. The character of the partner that we choose is extremely important to us. And so I like to say, I like to turn my triple C into a triple A. If that works, then, you know, we'll start getting interested.
No, I understand. So, you know, because the reason why I brought up the office market, Joe, I had heard, and in fact, I seen it was on CNBC about 5-6 months ago. And again, the reason why I bring it up about that, because this one investor was saying that he saw most of his workers productivity go up because they were working from home. They were doing 9, 10, 11 hours a day. Either they were taking care of a sick one, or a newborn or whatever, but they would be more productive. And he also says that he might see in his line of work, his business, where 20% of the work for his workforce will work from home. So that's why I was asking, like, how do you see the office market, especially in the next 3 to 6 months, or if that's hard to predict, maybe in the next year? Because if this is the case, like you said, you're working from home, I'm from home. Is office going to be something that people are going to invest in the future? Or is the office space, instead of, let's say, and I'm throwing a number, 10,000 square feet of office space, maybe they might go down to 8,000 and save 2,000 square feet. Again, I don't know if my question or my summation makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. The question here is, where's the new equilibrium for office, and where's the next, where's the new value for office? And how do you underwrite office today? And so I would say that most will take the same thing. They'll take a very defensive approach. They'll probably hit occupancy rate by an extra 5% or so, just to be on the safe side. So office, a center office that would have been occupied on an average by, you know, 92% or will probably be underwritten at, I don't know, say, call it 85-87%.
Right.
Well, naturally starts getting downward to some extent by a certain percentage. Well, so already you have some sort of a drop in value. Now you have the element of uncertainty that goes along with it. Who's coming back to office? How much office space we need? We all need to be clustered in a center city, or can we actually take some office space in suburban markets? Is there going to be a pushback to suburban? I think all of those questions are right on the money. And therefore, because of uncertainty, because there's anticipation, naturally, and an anticipation of seeing some drops in occupancy, and with it, some drops in rents, then I believe that office is about to go through a new equilibrium. Is it going to be trading for less, 10% less, 15% less? I don't have a crystal ball. It's hard for me to say.
Sure.
It's a little bit too early. I'm tracking transactions. There was a beautiful transaction that has happened now in South Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, a beautiful deal of over 413,000 square feet. So we're tracking everything that goes on in our markets and the markets that we pay attention to. But I think those that are making the jumps into office right now, you know, are taking a certain amount of risk, and I hope that it's getting well calculated into the price.
Right. So for you, where do you see your company, Berko & Associates? Let's talk about them first. Like, what's the next, what's the plan for the fourth quarter of this year and the first quarter of next year? Again, sorry that I put you on the spot. And the same thing for Aster Capital. What's the goal for the fourth quarter and first quarter of next year?
Sure. For Berko & Associates, money never goes out of fashion. We're actively working with our clients, refinancing existing loans and placing new capital whenever new capital is needed. Not so much acquisitions. We don't see too much of that right now. You know, it's mainly refinancing and trying to get out of expensive debt into newer, into lower expense, lower interest rate sort of a debt. On the side of Aster Realty Capital, we're back in the hunt. We're really back big time. We're ready to deploy capital. Thank God we have good amount of dry powder behind us. And we're very hungry. Most of our transactions are going to be focused around ground up rentals that makes certain sense. We don't want to see anything that is sort of like the nosebleed section. We don't want to see $100 per square foot, heart of Williamsburg, you know, with all the bells and whistles. And we shy away from those deals to begin with. So, you know, and this time, I think that this market is going to come through some sort of it's going to go through some hard pains as well. We're already seeing some drops in rents and with it some drops in occupancy. So it has to sort of like, you know, be a fit. It has to be somewhere mid-market, mid-pricing. That's what we'd like to see. Our preference is to build institutional styles. So if it's in South Florida, we're talking about roughly our sweet spot is around 300 units. Rental ground up. If it's in New York, we'll start from 100, 150 into the 250. I think that's sort of like the numbers that makes sense for us, makes good sense for our partners. And these are the areas we're going to pay attention to. If we feel that there's a little bit too much risk, then we'll try and negotiate an element of preferred equity like we're doing in the other two transactions we're negotiating right now. Looking forward into the next several months, I certainly hope to close those two transactions and you know, get ready for Q1. I think things will start moving a little bit slower towards the end of the year and certainly up until election time. Once we'll pass that, I think things will start opening up again.
Right.
2021, there will be a point in time. There will be a very unique point in time, and I'm looking for that point in time where land valuations will drop, both in New York and around the surrounding area. Land valuation will drop to the point that it will start making sense again to acquire them. At the very same time, we went through a period that nobody was building. And so I anticipate in the next 3 years out, we're going to find a very unique point in the market where a lot of the product, a lot of the units, a lot of the condos, they're lingering now, will sort of start disappearing. And then those that will start building and acquire land and hit a market within 3 years out, maybe 3.5 years, but something around those lines, I think we'll find a very good market still with, you know, favorable fundamentals, low interest rates, certainly, you know, reasonable supply, maybe not enough supply. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward into that sort of a period. And so I think that Q1, we'll start looking at land again, start looking at some condo projects again.
And right. No, sounds good. So what, a couple more questions. One is, how did you end up meeting Selman Yalcin? How did you guys end up, you know, I'm not saying partnering, but how did you meet Selman and the Red NYC family?
Red NYC, that's very interesting. Well, I know Selman for many years from the industry, but it was several years ago. I've done a three-day event, a very unique event. I've teamed up with the Israeli Building Center, sort of like the biggest networking group, the real estate networking group in Israel. We decided to do a three-day event in New York. They were working to fly in 150 real estate professionals to New York. And I was working to bring 250 professionals to create this really unique environment where one day will be a full seminar with about 50 plus speakers, and the other, and the rest of the days We'll have, you know, visits throughout a variety of projects, on the nicest projects in the city, office, retail, and residential, and meet, sort of like meet the industry, sort of create the bridge. And we were planning, that in each and every one of those nights, we'll have a social aspect. So while we do educational stuff throughout the day, you know, our guests from Israel and everybody else, all the other participants, will have the social aspect. Mm-hmm. Salman approached me at the time. He was planning to do one of his very early on Red NYC events. And he said that, you know, maybe it's not a good idea that he should have his event around the same week that I'm doing ours, and maybe we should separate. And I said, absolutely the contrary. Let's just team up, and that's what we've done. And we've done an amazing party, a social party at the Thompson Hotel in Soho, and it was one of the nicest ones, I think, at least in my opinion. You know, everybody came out super happy. It was a great networking, and that's how we met. We started to work together on Red NYC. He will bring the industry into a nice, sexy rooftop somewhere in New York City.
Yeah. And
the conversation and the professional that we would be interviewing that very same night. And it was fun. It was a great time.
Yeah, no, I've been a part of it since June of last year, and I'm always having a great time. And I always appreciate someone from putting me part of the Red NYC family. Joe, so before we let you go, one, thank you so much for being in this Red NYC event. And two, if somebody wanted to look for you, what's the best bet?
Pardon? If somebody wanted what?
If somebody wanted to get in contact with you, what's the best bet?
Oh, shoot me an email, jburko@burkoassociates.com or jb@astorrealtycapital.com. So jb@astorrealtycapital.com. Okay, that's fine. To reach me.
Yeah, and I'll put it on the show notes. I'll make sure that people definitely see it. Again, Joe, thank you so much for being on this Red NYC interview series. I really appreciate it. And again, thank you. You gave us a lot of great nuggets here to take in.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, William.
No problem. You too. Thank you. You too, buddy. Take care. Well, everybody, I was Joe Burko. And I'll definitely put more information on the show notes. You can look for Selman at redinnyc.com. That's redinnyc.com. And you can find me at peertopeerrealestate.com. That's peer2peerrealestate.com. Again, I'm your host, William Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody. And please stay safe. Thank you.